interesting holiday for many. Grab your Bibles this morning, open them please to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we're going to look at a verse that quite often is used in regard to remembering those who have fallen. Across the battlefields of the American Civil War, over 500,000 American soldiers died, defending their cause for which they believed. It was in 1868 that General Logan declared the first Declaration Day to remember the fallen from that tragic war. As time passed, Decoration Day was renamed Memorial Day and became a national holiday at that time. Christians have many events to which they likewise can celebrate. But one day in which the greatest sacrifice could have ever occurred, we find salvation for the souls of humanity. So on this Memorial Day weekend, let us reflect, yes, upon the fallen soldiers of this great nation, but let us also ponder the sacrifice of our Commander-in-Chief, our General of the armies of the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, and how on that day was a day in which humanity should join in celebrating our Memorial Day. Look with me, please, at John 15 and verse number 13. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Dear God, I thank you for your word, and Lord, I do thank you for the beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, while it is a beautiful day and many people are out there enjoying the Sunday weather, Lord, it's better to be in the house of God. And so, God, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, prepare our hearts, God, and guide us and direct us, Lord, in those things in which we stand in need. And Lord, may we ponder, Lord, that sacrifice. God, may we remember the sacrifice that was given of one who calls us friend to those who believe in his eternally perfect work. God, let us remember Jesus Christ, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this. Many of us, we use this day to remember our soldiers that are in active duty. But this is not really that day to celebrate them. They have their holiday in which we celebrate them too. But yet, some of them who are in active duty will die, will give that sacrifice of their life, so that we can enjoy the freedoms in which we have. Many say, well, we don't really have much freedom. To which I will say, we still have far more freedom than many or most of the countries of this world. Our Memorial Day. It's interesting to think about that day when General Logan declared a day of remembrance, a declaration day, or Decoration Day in regards to the soldiers, not just of the Union forces who had risen victorious over the Confederates. Hey, we're in Virginia country, right? But I'm so thankful that he likewise remembered those of the South. Because we are all one nation after all. And our principles, they still should stand true, though I believe we may have deviated along the way. But yet so many have perished. 500,000. That's a massive number of troops. That's the greatest amount of troops that's ever fallen. Especially on our own soil. We think of our friends. Have you ever had a friend that laid down his life or her life so that you could live? Maybe you know of a soldier as well that has likewise paid the price of their life. I had a great uncle who died in World War II that I know of. I had another uncle that likewise, great uncle that died in World War II. I had an uncle as well that died in Vietnam. So there's quite a history that we know of loved ones, relatives, descendants that gave that sacrifice. While they gave their physical sacrifice of their life, Jesus likewise gave that physical sacrifice. not so that we may live physically eternal. Praise the Lord, I'll get to lay this shell down one day and rise up in newness of life in His face. I can't wait for that day. But He not only gave us physical, but He most importantly gave us a spiritual life. Our Memorial Day. First question I'd like to ask you today is this. Who is a friend? Who is a friend? Jesus, after all, He did say, greater loveth no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so we ought to understand what Jesus is meaning there by the word friends. What is it that He means? Well, we find in a couple verses early in verse number 8, Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I want to implore you today that are you that type of friend that's going to tell your other friends that you have that don't know Jesus about Jesus Christ? That's a good friend. I had a friend tell me about the Lord many years ago. And yes, I told him no. But oh, how it arrested my mind for many years, because he died when he was only in sixth grade by a drunk driver. I promised myself I was going to name one of my children after him. And then I ran into someone else who had a kid with the same name, and I said, yeah, that one's off the list. We'll pick something different. But who is a friend? Who is your companion? Who is your colleague? Who is that person you can just go out and do things with or share anything that's on your mind and on your heart with? Who is it that you can do that with? Many of you will say, well, that's my spouse. Many of you will say, well, that's my mother or my father. Many will say, well, that's my grandmother or my grandfather. Some will say, well, that's, you know, some of my children. I've got some daughters, you know, that are like that I can talk to so freely with. Who is a friend? Physically, we can all come up with a list of someone. At least there ought to be someone who falls into the category that we have defined for ourselves as friendship. However, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, know this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as you're sitting here right now, He is not your friend. Because you've made an enemy of Jesus Christ. If you're sitting here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot look at Him and say, He's my friend. Why? Because He's not a part of your life. Why? Because He's not within your heart. Why? Because you choose to live in sin. Instead of repenting and calling on Jesus. Some of us, we can make friends so easily. Are you one of those people that can make friends just like that? You walk into a room and everybody just says, hey! There you are. Yeah, I mean, you're just on, you know, like, man, you're that person that, man, I mean, a crowd just like explodes when you walk through the door. Not like trying to get away from you, but, you know, trying to get to you, you know, spend some time with you. Yeah, I've been in a room where someone's walked in and we're all like, oh no, let's run for the door. But no, there's times where, you know, you might be one of those kind of people that when you walk into a room, it's like just a breath of fresh air has walked in or maybe, you know, it's just that energetic, charismatic spirit of a person that you are. You know, you just inspire people to just want to be friendly to you. Maybe that's who you are. Do you know someone like that? Do you know someone who's just like that? Man, when I came here, I could tell you right off the bat, those who I knew right away who were that charismatic, energetic type of person. I mean, it just like bubbles out of them. You can tell. Man, that's a friendly individual. Some people can make friends so easily. But then again, there's some that just have a hard time at making friends. It just seems like they can't make a click anywhere along the way. You know, it's just like, I don't get it. You know, my railroad track's going this way, but theirs is on a completely different track. We're just not, you know, meshing here. Nothing's going on. Oh, Christian. If you're here today and you think that you're on a different track than what Jesus is on, let me tell you, no, you're on the right track. The problem is you're just not going the way he wants you to go. Jesus is such a good friend. You know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is your friend indeed, yes. But I'm so thankful Jesus is so much more. I like it when I was able to go and do things with my friends when I was younger. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. I was really picky and choosy of who was my friend, especially since I lost my best friend in sixth grade. And you kind of really start to decide who's your friend and who's your not. Yeah, I don't need that one as a friend. That's trouble. You know? But so you get really picky and choosy along the way. Well, I'm glad that Jesus wasn't picky and choosy about who he says can have eternal life. Jesus was not picky or choosy. Jesus says, I want all to come to repentance. He wants everybody to be his friend. He wants to be a friend to every soul that's walked or will walk or is walking on the face of this earth. He wants to be your friend. Who were those friends you had in your youth? I want to ask you, those friends that you had when you were younger, in your days of juvenile delinquency, are they still your friend today? Are they? Can you get on the phone and just give them a quick shout? Say, hey, it's so good to talk to you, and I know it's been a while. And you just pick right up where you left off. That's a good friend. You know, Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. He spent so much time with them, and it was almost like the phone hung up and he went on up into heaven, you know? They couldn't actually hold a verbal back and forth conversation and see his action, you know, of his face, you know, or the blinking of his eyes or the twinkle that was there and the crease on his, you know, on his cheek, you know, as he would smile at you. They couldn't see that anymore. It's like the phone was hung up. But let me tell you, one day I'm going to get to see Jesus in the twinkle of his eye. I'm going to get to see that crease of the smile upon his face when I have an opportunity to talk with him, to share I share my life with him now, but I get to tell him, you know, face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? Who is your friend? The friends of our youth, if they were of the world because you were likewise of this world, I want to ask, how much influence do they or do you still have on each other's life? I've had friends that were lost that didn't know Jesus. And I do wish for their salvation. I pray for their salvation. But you know, I don't spend my time with them today, because I have a different friend. Who are your friends today? If you call them a true friend, can you call them or can they call you a true friend in return? Is this a reciprocal type of relationship? That's my friend. One of my childhood friends, really, I didn't have too many, but this one here I've had for a long time. He heard that I was coming down to Florida. They live in North Carolina. He's like, hey, can you swing out this way and stop in real quick? I'd love for you to, one, tune my piano. But two, it'd be good to catch up with you. I was a godfather for their sons. He's a good man. We have friends today that serve the Lord in other areas of this globe. We have friends today that are likewise in church, might not be right here with you, but maybe in a different place of worship. If it's the house of the Lord, I'll say amen. If Jesus, though, is your true friend today, it's because you know him. You have a relationship with him. Your knowledge of him, it might be greater and it might be less than the one that's sitting beside you, but you both have this understanding that Jesus is my friend. And to whatever degree of which you know Jesus, maybe more, maybe less than the person beside you, but Praise be to God, Jesus is your friend. You know He is a true friend. Jesus is the truest of friends you could ever have because He laid down His life so that you might live. That's all just one point. Yeah, we're going to be here a long time today, aren't we? Who is a friend? No, I didn't just take this message and copy it from Friend Day. This is a different one, okay? You can go back and look if you want. But when we think of those who lay down their lives for us, if it's a true friend, that friend would do so that you could live. They take the bullet for you if someone's robbing you and you're both there together. They'll be the person that will take the first blow if someone is trying to, you know, do harm to you. They'll be the first person to push you out of the way of the car and take the hit for you. They're that type of person that will grab you by the scuff of your neck and pull you back and say, "Wait! That's the wrong direction you're going." Man, I used to call my friend and, you know, while we are the same age, he was still quite wise in many things. Sometimes he would pull me back and say, "Wait. Wait. Who is a friend?" Next, I want to ask you, point number two is, have you a friend? King James English, there would be, "Have ye a friend?" What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. He bore our grief so we don't need to. He bore our pain so we don't need to. He took on sorrow so we don't need to. He became sin so that we don't need to die in sin. He descended to the lowest parts of the earth so that we don't have to descend to the lowest parts of the earth. He ascended back up into glory so that one day we can ascend up into glory to be with our greatest friend. Have you a friend in Jesus? What a friend you would have indeed. If you're sorrowful today, if you're hurting today, I'm in pain today, I'm not barely able to move. You don't see me running around the stage today, okay? I'm hurting today. But I am so thankful that Jesus took all that pain, all that sorrow, all that shame, even His Father turning His face from Him because He could not look upon Him, for Jesus became sin. Oh, I'm so thankful for Jesus. What a friend. You know, I want to also say this. What a friend we have in our church body here. What a friend we have with each other. Some of us will say, "Well, I don't know if I want to share my burdens with them." Some will say, "Well, I don't know if I want to share, you know, another prayer time with them." Some will say, "Well, I don't know if they're, you know, if they're that encouraging in my life. I mean, I really don't, they just don't encourage me." We have each other here because we can bear one another's burdens. We can have friends here in this body today because we do lift one another in prayer. My friends, we are friends because we can likewise encourage each other because we have the same friend, and it's Jesus. If you don't have a church home, I'd consider praying and saying, "God, would you have this be my church home?" We all need friends. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody. From the prostitute out on the street to the drunkard down on the corner. Everybody needs a friend. To the one who's contemplating, they wrote the letter, they've got the gun on their desk. That person needs a friend. to the person over there who's struggling today while bowing down to Allah three times a day, thinking that's good enough. No, that's not good enough. You have to keep doing it. That person needs a friend. To the person who goes and torments themselves thinking that this or that will give them what they need, that person needs a friend. To the one who's in addictions, that person needs a friend. To the one who's sitting here in the pew today, you likewise need a friend. And if you have believed the lie of Satan that Jesus is not your friend, that Jesus is just going to continually to beat you up with the things you do wrong, or Jesus is going to continue to throw down His lightning bolts upon you when you step out of line, you know, my friend, you've been deceived by Satan. For Jesus wants all to come to repentance. He loves you. He cares for you. How do we know that? Because He died for you. If you need a church home, you'll find some friends here. I'll tell you which ones to stay clear of. We all need friends. I'm going to get in trouble now. They're going to shake my hand after church today. You probably shouldn't have said that. You know, we sacrifice for each other. Time and money, health, we sacrifice for each other. Because a church family provides something that no other family out there can. Have you a friend? Who's your friend? Have you a friend? And man, we're moving on pretty quickly. We might just get out of here on time. Why this friend? Why Jesus? It's a good question to ask. For many people are asking that question of the Lord's saints today who are telling them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They come back and they say, why should I choose Jesus? Why should I make Him my friend? Why not? You have no other friend. Those of the world you call friend, how many times have they taken advantage of you? How many times, instead of them pulling you away from the bus, they threw you under the bus? Why Jesus as your friend? Since today is Memorial Day, because Jesus fights for you. Why Jesus as your friend? Because Jesus protects you. Why Jesus as my friend? Because He is not only your friend, but He's your shepherd. He's your provider. He's your redeemer. He's your Savior. He's the one, the true, the living God. Why not have Jesus as your friend? When the world is falling apart, when governments cease to exist, when fellow brother is rising up and killing other brother, my friend, Jesus is our friend. When financial markets are collapsing, when things are falling apart around, when those we love are riddled and dying, my friend, we have a friend in Jesus. When your kids turn their back on you, or when your spouse walks away, you still have Jesus. Not only why should we have Jesus as our friend, but also why fellow Christians? Why fellow believers as friends? By your fruits, by their fruits ye shall know them. And Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You can tell who a real Christian is
if they're bearing much fruit. I would encourage you to grab a hold of that person and make them a friend. Why, fellow Christians? Well, when things get tough, who is it that normally calls you? When you're not feeling well, who is it that normally calls you? When you're going through a spiritual hardship, when you're going through a physical abnormality, who is it that calls you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, they're the ones who call you. They're the ones who will encourage you. They're the ones that will get right down in the dirt with you and walk with you each step of the way. I think the motto of the Marine is this: no soldier left behind. As we've been studying in Ephesians, we'll be there in chapter 6 the week after next. We're going to be looking at how we are all, if you know Christ, how we are all soldiers of the Lord, and how we need to be equipped for this battle in which we fight. Your neighbor is not the enemy. They're really not. Your other political party person out there on Capitol Hill, they're really not your enemy. The person who yells at you and cusses you out, the person who just wants your life to be miserable, they're not your enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle against Satan, my friend. Satan is the one who wants to deceive you. Satan is the one who wants to discourage you. Satan is the one who wants to defeat you. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. That's my friend. I'm going to pull them under the shelter of my wing. I will lift them up to soar on wings as eagles. I'm so thankful for this. This final point here. Why this friend? Because Jesus will never leave you behind. He'll never leave you behind. I pray one day when my soul goes to glory and my flesh is 6 feet under, I pray that my epitaph will read, "Grace wins." If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to know Him today. If you don't have a close relationship or close friendship with Jesus, He's right there. He's always been there. He wants you to open the door and let Him in. How many times has your friend come over to your house and knocked on your door or rang your doorbell and how many times have they done that and you've said, "I'm sorry, but I'm not answering the door right now. I'm having too much fun with my own life." I've knocked on a lot of doors. You can trust me. I've knocked on a ton of doors. And I get all sorts of wonderful excuses. I get all sorts of wonderful things fly back at my face. But you know, whenever I knock on the door of my friend's house, man, they are quick to open the door. And they'll say, "Oh, it's you again. Come on in, make yourself at home, whatever. Yeah, I might have something out there for you, you know." No, they're not like that. Man, when they see you and they open the door, I mean, they want to grab you by the neck. They want to hug you and squeeze you till your eyes pop out. I mean, they want to love all over you. They want to spend some time with you. You know, you grab them, you bring them in the house and you say, "I'm so glad you're here. I don't really have much to eat, but we'll figure something out together. Man, it's so good to see your face again. It's so good to... How has your family been? How's your kids been? I love it when friends knock on my door. Jesus is knocking on your door today. Will you let him in? Will you hug him and squeeze him until his eyes pop out? Will you say, Jesus, come on in. I want to spend some time with you today. I want you and me to fellowship right now. I really don't have much to offer, but God, it's so good to see you. That's good enough. We'll figure this out. Man, Jesus can make enough bread and fish to feed 5,000 out of nothing. I mean, I think Jesus can take care of the meal. On this Memorial Day, Jesus has laid down his life so that you can live. But Jesus also took up his life so that you could live eternally. May your epitaph read, "Grace wins." If you have a friendship with Jesus, then here's what you need to do. You need to live it. You need to share it. You need to show it. And if it is necessary, you need to sacrifice this shell so that others might spiritually live. This Memorial Day is a great day, yes, to remember the fallen soldiers. But let's not forget the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. Do you have a friend in Jesus? If he is your friend today, be encouraged. Spend some more time with him this week than you did last. Look forward to the day you get to see his beautiful face. And if there's a way for you to tell me what it looks like before, you know, I get there, I mean, can you help me out a little bit? But I know that when I see his face, I'm going to know him. I'm going to know that's Jesus. That's my Lord. Hey, if you don't know Jesus today, you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I think we've given enough in this that you should already have an understanding. That all I need to do is call on Jesus and be saved? Yes. By faith, trusting in that perfect work that he did. Hey, if you're looking for a place to serve, if you're looking for a place with some good friends, this might be the place for you. During this altar call, pray about it. There might be something you're struggling with today. You may have let a friend down. No soldier left behind. Hoorah. Let's stand beside each other as we fight this fight together during this invitation.